God's word as we read it in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We shall read the first 18 verses of this chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We consider in the sermon particularly verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We use this passage to begin a brief consideration of portions of Scripture that speak of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. We commonly do that in this season of the year. That Jesus was from the beginning despised and rejected was a part of that suffering. Isaiah the prophet prophesied of that reality in chapter 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Of this rejection, the inspired Apostle John speaks in our text. It was a painful rejection. Anyone who has been rejected by a loved one knows the pain and the suffering of such rejection. Parents who have loved their children and brought them up in
the love and the fear of God, how painful it is when some of these reject their parents. Husbands and wives who were once married and who are torn apart by divorce know the painful reality of rejection. Our text is kind of a summary of that painful reality that Jesus experienced when he came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Our text follows the amazing and mysterious opening words of the Gospel of John. There John declares that Jesus is God's eternal Word. And he tells us that by God's Word all things were created in heaven and in earth. And he tells us the amazing truth that this Word was eternally with God, and that this Word was God. What a declaration of the truth of the deity of Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. By him the worlds were created. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 gives us a more detailed discussion of that amazing truth that by Christ the world was created. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things exist. This then is the background of our text. He came into that world. He who is the Son of God, by whom the world was created, and that world knew him not. It rejected him. Our text and the several verses before it are also an introduction to the ministry of John the Baptist. It would be the work of John the Baptist to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. He would testify of the light that came into the world, and he would experience the reality that this world did not receive that light because men love darkness rather than light. And that explains the awful reality, and it is that, the awful reality of the fact that when Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, by whom and for whom and unto whom all things were created, that that world received him not. And then even worse than that, he came to his own, and his own received him not. What pain and suffering that involved. Rejected by his own. Notice, first of all, the great wickedness of it. Notice, secondly, the suffering of it. And finally, redemption from this rejection. great rejection of the Son of God, the wicked, inexcusable rejection of the Son of God when he came into the world. The rejection of him, by whom and for whom this world was created. He came into that world, into that world of darkness. He did that in his incarnation. He continues to be in this world, though he has ascended bodily into heaven. He is in this world through the preaching of the gospel. He reveals himself as the Son of God. He is present right in the midst of this world, and this ungodly world does not receive him. The word world here refers to the whole world created by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the world that belongs to him, the world that he is sovereign over, the world that was created in order that it might glorify him. But instead of glorifying him, it rejected him. This dreadful, ungodly world. What a shocking reality that is. It's not an innocent reality. It is not something that we say, this poor world, this world of darkness and of ungodliness. It's a dreadful thing. It's an inexcusable ignorance. For God has revealed himself and his glory in this world. He has revealed himself as a God who can be and must be known, and who must be worshipped and glorified. But this fallen, ungodly world turned itself against God to idolatry. Willful rejection. And that darkness has continued and developed more and more since the time of the fall. The world continues in darkness. And in that darkness, it does not know the creator of this world. It does not know the Son of God by whom this world was created. John Calvin, in his commentary, illustrates that as drinking at a stream and never considering the source of that stream. So the world rejects him who is the sovereign, glorious creator of the heavens and the earth, who upholds all things by the word of his power, who gives to all life and breath and all things. And wicked men know not the Son of God when God sent him into the world. Their hearts are hardened in unbelief. They concentrate on the creature rather than the creator. And over the centuries of time, they have worshipped the creature. They have used science for amazing inventions in order to understand the mysteries of the creation. And so we speak of the marvels of science and of medicine. Inventions. Today, the world's technology and the world's sciences
All of these are in some way a development of the creation. For this world is God's creation. And in the midst of all of that, man lives in utter darkness, in unbelief. And that's not because of the insufficiency of God's revelation. God reveals himself. The truth concerning himself and the world rejects that truth willingly, and because of that rejection, condemnation shall come upon this world. Now, as we said at the beginning, that's a painful thing for the Son of God, and John wants us to think about how terrible that is. That the Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus, the Son of God, by whom and for whom all things were created, comes into the world that belongs to him. The world that he created, the world that was made in order that his name might be exalted and glorified. And when he comes into that world, the world rejects him. It did that at the cross through the representative of the world, Pontius Pilate. What a rejection that was. Pilate had no idea, not really spiritually, he had no idea who stood before him. And even though he did not know, because of his inexcusable ignorance, and as part of a world that rejects God, he condemned the Son of God to be crucified. What an awful world we live in. A world that rejects God and rejects the Son of God when he comes into the world. Now that's verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. What towering wickedness. How dreadful is the darkness of this world. But now we come specifically to our text, and our text has a narrower focus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's worse. When our text refers to his own, the inspired writer of John is referring to the Jewish nation, first of all. For this was the nation that was chosen of God, above all the peoples of the earth. God had chosen that nation, and he loved that nation. Organically, that nation was the special nation of God. To her, God gave amazing privileges. God gave to her his word and his commandments. God gave to her the types and the shadows. God gave to her the covenant promises. God gave to her all the signs of the tabernacle and later the temple and all of the sacrifices that were offered there. All of them pointed to the Messiah. God gave to her prophecies. Prophecies that clearly spoke of the promise of the coming Messiah. In the days of the patriarchs, The saints of God longed for the fulfillment of the promise. There were even at the end of the Old Testament, there were those who were longing for the coming of the Messiah. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That was the word of God, comforting and encouraging the people of God in the Old Testament to look for the fulfillment of that promise of God and of all the types and shadows that pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Who he was, where he would be born, the mighty and wonderful work of salvation that he would accomplish. But when he came to his own received him not. Here we have a figure of speech. In a technical term, it's called a litotes, where today we would say that's an underestimation. If there ever was an underestimation, the negative is emphasized here by this figure of speech. Not only did they not receive him, that might seem to be too mild of a word, but they rejected him. They hated him. They poured out their contempt upon him. They utterly rejected him already at the time of his birth. He was born in Bethlehem. The angels announced that he was the Son of God, the Son of David, even as the promise of the Old Testament spoke. But no one seemed to care. He was born in a stable, and that was a sign of his rejection by his own people. When he began his public ministry, he spoke the wonderful truth of God with great authority and clarity. He revealed the wonders of God's grace and mercy and the greatness of his salvation. But his people, wanted nothing of him. They would not hear his word. He performed his miracles among them, and some said among them, he does these things by Beelzebub because he is the son of Beelzebub. What a dreadful thing that was. Jesus preached throughout Galilee. He did his wonderful miracles in Galilee, and they rejected him. And Jesus said when he pronounced woes upon these cities of Galilee, that if these works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have long ago repented in dust and ashes. But those who are described in our text as his own received him not. In the King James, it's interesting that the two times that this expression, his own, is used, he came to his own and his own received him not. There are two different forms of that word. It's not precisely the same word in both cases. In the first instance, when it speaks of the fact that he came to his own,
that has been translated in the scriptures as he came to his own house. And some have referred especially to the temple of God. His people, they belong to him. They were chosen of him. They were those whom the Father had given to him by his divine decree. He came to his house, the temple, and perhaps even the world that he had made. And he was denied by unbelieving, wicked people who had the name of being his own. They said, we don't want him. They were blinded by the imagination that the Messiah who was to come would bring in a new and glorious earthly kingdom where there would be prosperity and where Israel would be restored to its former glory. But when Jesus, the Son of God, came as the suffering servant of Jehovah, they said, away with him. We don't need such a Messiah. And not only did they say that, but they hated him. They poured out their contempt upon him. They arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane without any charges against him because they had only known him in the good works that he had performed in their midst, healing the sick, making the lame to walk and the blind to see, even raising up the dead. All of his earthly ministry, he had done good and he had revealed the righteousness and the truth of God in all of his ministry, but they received him not. They hated him. They arrested him. They condemned him. They accused him of blasphemy because he testified of being the Son of God. They condemned him to be worthy of death. And because they were not able themselves to execute the Son of God, they went to the hated Pontius Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire that was hated by the Jews, in order that they might use him to pronounce judgment upon him. And Pilate examined him and repeatedly said, I find no fault in him. And the multitudes cried, crucify him! Crucify him! They wanted one thing. They wanted the Son of God to die the accursed death of the cross. That was the extreme of their judgment. Inexcusable. Unspeakable wickedness. And when Barabbas was compared to Jesus, they chose Barabbas instead of the Son of God. They had no sympathy for him. So when he was unjustly and wickedly scourged by Pontius Pilate before their eyes, they didn't even feel sorry for him in any way. They said, let him be crucified. Those were the people for whom God sent his Son into the world in order to save them. What a shameful and horrible reality. And beloved, we must understand, in order to understand this text, that we by nature, would do the same thing. We have done the same thing. Our sins have all been against Him. And if we would speak from the depravity of our own heart, we would join the chorus, crucify Him, crucify Him. He came to His own people. That's the second time this word is used. He came to His own people, those whom God had given to Him in order that He might come into the world to save them from their sins. And they hated Him. They crucified their own Savior. When there was no other Savior, and when God, in the greatness of His love, sent His own Son into the world, they crucified Him. What unimaginable wickedness. The world, those who are called His own, and we also, by nature, when Jesus stands in our midst, when He is revealed as the Son of God, our response to that revelation is the same by nature as the unbelieving Jews responded. We hate Him. We have a nature that hates Him and rejects Him. That's the revelation of the awful darkness of the world and the ungodliness of this world that Jesus came to save. Had Jesus responded to that awful reality, injustice, then He would have come only to destroy this ungodly world. He loved us when we were yet sinners. Had He beheld us in our sin and in our rejection of Him, then in justice He could have condemned us all to hell for such dreadful rejection of the Son of God. But He didn't do that, because He loved us with a love that was able to endure our ungodly rejection of Him. And we're told that in our text also. We might conclude after reading verse 11 that the entire ministry of Jesus in the world, the revelation of the Son of God, came to nothing because of the rejection of the ungodly world and the rejection even of those who were His own. But the answer is given to us in the very next two verses. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not all rejected Him. The remnant, by God's amazing grace, the remnant that in themselves were also ungodly and would otherwise have joined in the rejection of Jesus, that remnant according to God's electing love would be saved. And to them it would be given to know and to receive the Son of God, whom God in the greatness of His love had sent for their salvation. And how do you explain that? The answer is found in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That too is a wonder of God. Had God not performed that great wonder, there would be no one who would have received Him. But God prepared His elect people through the work of His grace in their hearts. They were born again. And when they were born again, they were converted. And God gave them a knowledge of the great truth of who Jesus Christ is. By the power of His grace, He delivered us, He redeemed us from being destroyed through our own rejection and unbelief. And as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. That's all of God. To them, God gave the heart, the regenerated heart, to receive and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand the mysteries of His cross, and to know the wonders of His resurrection and exaltation to the right hand of God. To them who received Him by His grace in their heart, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. They came to know the glorious Son of God, whom God the Father sent into the world, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And in knowing Him, they repented and they believed, and by the wonder of God's grace, they received from Him the power to become the sons of God. What amazing love! When we rejected Him, God broke that rejection. He gave us a new heart whereby we might know Him, and through knowing Him, we might be saved. Blessed and wonderful Savior, the wonder work of the eternal Son of God, who was given to us by God to save us from a world of darkness. Praise be unto His glorious name, that He has redeemed us from the dreadful darkness of this world and caused us to know the wonder of our salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, how great and how wonderful is the power of Thy grace. We confess with shame our own sinful nature, blind even as the world, wicked and ungodly as the world, so that we too, by nature, would have been blind, willfully blind and ignorant of the great wonder that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Thou hast caused us to know Him by Thy grace in our hearts, and to see Him and His glory, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. May we ever adore Him who so loved us that he endured our rejection and delivered us from our enmity in order that we might forever be thy sons in glory. Amen.